te Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. Gajendra returns to the spiritual world. So I'll read verses 7 to 10, and then we'll sing verse 10. Verse 7. Savai purvam abhutraja pandyadravita sattama indadumna iti kyata vishnu rakta parayanaha. Translation. This Gajendra had formerly been a Vaishnava and the king of the country known as Pandya, which is in the province of Dravida, South India. In his previous life, he was known as Indradumna Maharaj. Verse 8. Sae kadara tanakalat mavan krihitamaunavatayisharam hari jatatarastapasaplutachutam Samachayama sakula chalashama. Translation. Nidurna Maharaj retired from family life and went to the Malaya hills, where he had a small cottage for his ashram. He wore matted locks on his head and always engaged in austerities. Once, while observing a vow of silence, he was fully engaged in the worship of the Lord and absorbed in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Before I go on to the next two verses, I just noticed something in the Sanskrit which I would like to bring to your attention. In the first line, we have the holy name of Srimati Radharani. It's hidden in Bhagavatam. Sometimes it comes, but I just noticed it. Sa eka aratana, right in the first line of this verse. So here we have wonderful worship by Indradumna Maharaj. Even Radharani's name is mentioned here. And this is very wonderful. Whenever we see this, it happened in sixth canto when it was talking about, Indra performing some sacrifices. And he was doing worship, and it was again, Aradhana was slipped in there somehow by Shukadeva. So we are very fortunate today. We have the appearance of Radharani in these verses. So this is our great fortune. Verse 9. Yarichaya tatta mahayashamani sama gamachishya ganai parishita tamikshatisnim akitarhanatikam rahasyapasi namishishchikopaha. Translation. While Indradumna Maharaj was engaged in ecstatic meditation, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great sage Agastya Muni arrived there, surrounded by his disciples. And the Muni saw that Maharaj Indradumna, who was sitting in a secluded place, remained silent and did not follow the etiquette of offering him a reception. He was very angry. Now our verse for today. Dasma imam shap Pamatara Sathur Chet. Imam Shapam Matara Sathur. Ayam Dharama Kitabutiratya. Yam Dharatma Kitabutiratya. Vipravamanta Vishatam Tamishram. Tarisham. Yataka Jastabhamati Seva. Jastabhamati Seva. Chant. Dasma imam shapa mata dasato. Ayam dharatma kitabu tiratya. Tam tamisham. Yata kajasa tamati seva. Tasma imam shapamata asatur. Jiratma kitabu tiratya. Vipravamanta vishatam tamisram. Okay, go ahead. Somebody wants to chant? Okay, ladies. Tasmai mansha pamadasaha Hayam dharatma pitabu chiratyam Vipravamanta vishatam tamisanam Takajasta tamati seva Tasmai Unto Maharaj Indradumna, Imam, this, Shapam, curse, Adat, he gave, Asatu, not at all gentle, Ayam, this, Duratma, degraded soul, Akrita, without education, Bhuti, his intelligence, Adya, now, Vipra, of a Brahmana, Avamanta, insulter, Vishatam, let him enter, Tamisram, darkness, Yata, as, Gaja, an elephant, Staptamati, possessing blunt intelligence, Saha, he, Eva, indeed. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Agastya Muni then spoke this curse against the king. This king in Indradumna is not at all gentle. Being low and uneducated, he has insulted a Brahmin. May he therefore enter the region of darkness and receive the dull, dumb body of an elephant. Purport. An elephant is very strong. It has a very big body, and it can work very hard and eat a large quantity of food. But its intelligence is not at all commensurate with its size and strength. So in spite of so much bodily strength, the elephant works as a menial servant for a human being. Agastya Muni thought it wise to curse the king to become an elephant because the powerful king did not receive Agastya Muni as one is obliged to receive a brahmana. Yet, although Agastya Muni cursed Maharaj Indradumna to become an elephant, the curse was indirectly a benediction, for by undergoing one life as an elephant, Indradumna Maharaj ended the reactions for all the sins of his previous life. Immediately after the expiry of the elephant's life, he was promoted to Vaikuntha Loka to become a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, in a body exactly like that of the Lord. This is called Sarupya Mukti. Mukkam karati vachalam bangam langate girim yakipantamam bande shigurum dinatarinam Om jnana timiranasya garanjara shalakaya chakshuminitam yena tasamai shigurave namaha. So sometimes obstacles come in the life of a devotee. But these same obstacles can become great mercy. And this is what we see in the life of Indradumna Maharaj. Imagine you're doing some devotional service, and all of a sudden, in a second, you become an elephant. Now, that's a big obstacle to your devotional service. You can't go in the deity room. You can't do so many things. So this is what happened. He was in ecstasy. He was in ecstasy, meditating on the Lord. All of a sudden, he became an elephant, but this didn't stop him. In the case of Gajendra, the curse became a benediction because the Lord saved him from that elephant body, took him back to Godhead. So for devotees, impediments can become the greatest mercy. Sometimes our birth may be an impediment. When we first went to India, the Indians did not accept us as brahmanas. It was a difficult time, but then now they're accepting us. So Gajendra was an elephant. Who is going to accept him as a devotee of Krishna? Of course, he didn't manifest devotional symptoms in the beginning, but later on it came out, his devotional qualities. So we were studying the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj in our seminar, and there's a verse where Prahlad says, one may have wealth, aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic power. But I think, even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. So Prahlad was remembering Gajendra because Prahlad's feeling unqualified. He says, I'm born in a demoniac family, my father's a demon, how can I worship you? But he said, well, if Gajendra can do it, so can I. So if Gajendra can offer prayers, if Gajendra can do devotional service, so can we. There is no impediment. Ahai tuki pratyata. There is a verse by Sri Rupa Goswami in Padyavali. Where were the hunter dharma's piety? So there was a hunter. Narada Muni made him a devotee. But he had no pious activities, so he had no qualification to be a devotee. But by the mercy of Narada Muni, he was accepted. Where was Juva's maturity? Because in India you say, oh, you should become a devotee. But they say, no, when I'm old, I'll become a devotee. Not now. I have to marry my children. I have so many things to do. Where was Juva's maturity? He was only 5 years old. Where was Gajendra's knowledge? He was an elephant. Where was Kubja's beauty? She was a hunchback. Where was Sudama's wealth? He was poverty-stricken. And where was Vidura's noble birth? Born as a Shudra. And where was Ugrasena's chivalrous strength? Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service, not by material qualification. So there is hope for us. Actually, we do have a problem, though. Krishna is accepting us. He doesn't see the bad. But there is one problem. Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture, he said that when we wake up in the morning, we think we have so many problems. But we have only one problem. You know what that one problem is? How to accept Krishna. How to accept Krishna? We don't accept Krishna. Krishna is coming in so many ways, but we don't accept him. That is our problem. That is our problem. And in another lecture, many lectures, Prabhupada would say you should chant the holy name, crying like a child for its mother. Please accept me. Please accept me. Please pick me up. And in another lecture, Prabhupada said, if you chant very attentively, Krishna comes. And Krishna says, please accept me. Please accept me. So this is our problem, how to accept Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also accepted all of us. He didn't see our disqualification. He overlooked our impious background, our impious birth. He overlooked everything. Somehow he engaged us and devotional service. I told this story last night. I'll tell it again for this class about my god sister, Krishna Nandini. She came to Krishna consciousness in Cleveland, but putting sikhas. Her mother was putting sikhas on her children, and the temple president didn't appreciate. He says, "You're not even initiated. You can't do this," and he kicked them out of the temple. So they went to Dallas. They thought, let's try another temple. So they went to Dallas. The temple president was already warned ahead of time. These are troublemakers coming here. So that she just begged, let us stay overnight. And then he said, okay. And you know what? Prabhupada is coming tomorrow. So she said, I would have stayed on the roof if I knew Prabhupada was coming. And so they stayed overnight. The next day, Krishnanandini's mother, Bhumi, met Srila Prabhupada, and she stayed with him for 6 hours talking to Prabhupada. And after that, then they found out, oh, initiations are happening tomorrow, Radhashtami. And so then they said, well, we want to get initiated. And they said, no, we don't know you. And then, so Krishnanandini's mother went to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, how many of you want to get initiated? And she said, 5 of us. And Prabhupada said, okay. And the devotees were telling Prabhupada, but you know, these people, we don't know them, you know. But Prabhupada said, no, I see a spark of Krishna consciousness, and I want to fan that spark. And Prabhupada saw that spark in all of us, the spark of Krishna consciousness. So we have to see that spark in other devotees and in non-devotees, that we have to fan that spark of Krishna consciousness. This was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So sometimes devotees encounter impediments in their service. The Pandavas, they also had so many troubles, so many obstacles. Why are there obstacles for devotees? Srila Prabhupada explained in the purport of the prayers of Bhishma Dev that the mother, she teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Now, what does that mean? In India, when the son gets married, he brings the daughter, his wife, the daughter-in-law, to the house. And if the mother wants to teach, she doesn't teach directly. She teaches her own daughter so the daughter-in-law can understand. So in the same way, we are the children of Krishna. And Krishna teaches the world through his devotees. So sometimes devotees have to suffer so people can understand what is the mood. What mood should we have in this world? Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he has divine qualities. We are studying his mood, his attitude towards the world. And we can learn how we can live in this world as devotees and serve Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, he had so many impediments. If you look at Parikshit Maharaj's life, in the womb, they were trying to kill him. I mean, and Krishna came and saved him. His father died. He never met his father before his father died before his birth. And as soon as he grew up, all his grandfathers left home. The Pandavas just left and put him in charge. So, okay, now you be the king. You be the emperor. And they just left. And then after that, Kali came. Kali entered the kingdom. So just imagine how difficult it was for him. And after Kali entered, then he was cursed to die in 7 days. And after, when Parikshit Maharaj heard he's cursed, what was his reaction? Very nice. Now I can leave all this and engage in devotional service. Vidura also. He was kicked out of the palace, and inwardly he was thanking Duryodhan. Yes, now I'll get to travel to all the holy places. I don't have to be in politics anymore. Lord Brahma, he had so many impediments. He was born in darkness. Everything was dark all around. Couldn't see a thing. He was trying to feel his way around. He felt the lotus. He thought, okay, let me see what's down there. He felt his way down. And then he saw the chakra of the Lord, and he climbed back up. He heard the words tapa. And then he endeavored. He had to chant Gayatri for hundreds of years. He had to endeavor. Even in the creation, Brahma had impediments. At one point, the whole Bhuloka fell down to the hellish planets in the water. And he was thinking, now, you know, what can I do? The earth has gone down to the depths of the ocean. And then he said, well, it's best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Now, Prabhupada said in this purport a very interesting thing. Devotees of the Lord, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties, but they are never discouraged. So don't be discouraged. Sometimes you might get perplexed. You know, what shall I do next? Seems like it's very difficult. There's so many impediments. Prabhupada said, they have full faith in the Lord, and he paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that wonderful? So where do we get direction? Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. They are our direction. If we're perplexed, we go to the Guru. If Guru is not there, then we go to the sadhus, the other devotees, and we go to Shastra. All three should agree. And then we can go forward. Dhruva Maharaj, he had impediments in his service. He was fighting with the yakshas. And he was completely covered by arrows. But Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that it doesn't mean just because he was covered by arrows, he didn't surrender. He didn't lose the fight. The example is given of a mountain peak covered by rain. So what happens when the rain is covering the mountain? All the dirty things are washed off the mountain. So similarly, all these arrows from the enemy gave Dhruva Maharaj new vigor to defeat them. And Prabhupada says, in other words, whatever incompetency he might have had was washed away. So when we encounter impediments and we face them, all of our incompetencies are washed away. We get strength, we get purification, we go through an artha nivritti, and we come out stronger. And of course, Dhruva Maharaj did get direction in the dark night of the dark night of the soul, they call it, in that darkness, in that time when everything was seemed to be impossible. The sages came and they told him, just take shelter of the holy name of the Lord and it will save you from death. And he did that. So we have the holy name of the Lord. When we are in the dark night of the soul and artha nivritti, we can take shelter of the holy name and we'll see the light. It will come out of it. So, and another wonderful purport, Prabhupada talks about impediments. He says that pure devotee by chanting and hearing easily makes way through all impediments because they're just different energies of the Lord. He sees them as Krishna. Oh, like Prabhupada, I was giving the example, World War II, the bombs were falling. And Prabhupada said, yes, I saw the universal form of the Lord. I saw this as Krishna. And not a very lovable form, but still it's Krishna. And so when these problems come, we can see them as Krishna. We see them Krishna's mercy. Kunti, she prayed for more and more catastrophes to happen, just so she would see Krishna more and more. The mood we need to overcome impediments is the mood that Lord Chaitanya gives us in Shikshastika. Ai nanda tunuja kikaram patitamam vishame bhavam buddhau kipaya tava parapankajastita tuli sarisham vichintaya. Please pick me up. Somehow I've fallen into the ocean of death. Please pick me up and engage me in your service. So I would like to talk a little bit about the energy of the Lord, because this talk, Vishnu Chakravarti says that the energy, everything is Krishna's energy. Now in the first canto, third chapter, it is explained that the external energy, when you're going through your levels of devotional service, it will subside at some point in your devotional service. Now at what point, how will you know when the material energy is letting go of you? It is explained in the purport of 1.3.34 that by the Lord's will, the external energy subsides in terms of penance and repentance. So when you start regretting that you came to this world, when you start doing austerities, chanting the holy name of the Lord, then this will be a sign that you're becoming free from the grips of Maya. The same energy that puts us in prison, the same energy will take us out. The same mind that's our enemy will become our friend and help us out of this material world and help us make progress. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote a letter to Satsrupa Maharaj in 1972 that good things don't come so easily. You know, I had so many difficulties in my first year in your country. Sometimes I didn't even know where I was going to live. And I didn't have any friends. But I was always determined somehow I would do everything possible to fulfill the desire of my Guru Maharaj. And despite all difficulties, I always remained enthusiastic. So he was talking, Satsrupa Maharaj was in Dallas with the school project. He said, don't diminish your program. Remain enthusiastic. Continue the school project enthusiastically and expect Krishna's mercy at all times and everything will come out all right. So that was Prabhupada's advice, always encouraging us. Now the 11th canto, fourth chapter, also explains about impediments, that these obstacles, there may be obstacles, but it's kind of a ladder or a stairway upon which we go back to Godhead. So what this means is that when we meet an obstacle, when we overcome it, it brings us closer to Krishna. One more rung on the ladder. Another obstacle, another rung on the ladder. Back to Godhead. Another obstacle, another rung. You get closer and closer to Krishna. the more obstacles you face and overcome. So we should see these obstacles as mercy, as opportunities to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes we may also fail to meet these obstacles, but we have to keep faith that, Prabhupada will help us, Krishna will help us. As Lord Brahma says, tatenu kampam susumikshamanam, that hope against hope for the mercy of the Lord. Of course, not only should we hope for the mercy, but when it comes, we should see it as mercy too. Sometimes it's not so easy to see everything as Krishna's mercy. In hindsight, it's easier, but when it happens, it's hard. Bunjana evatma kitam vipakam, and we tolerate the reactions to our past misdeeds. Vidvagva purbir vidadan namaste, with body, mind, and words, we continue in our devotional service of the Lord. One time in Mauritius, Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, and one Indian man raised his hand. He said, Swamiji, I think Arjuna is not a pure devotee of the Lord because he heard the whole Bhagavad Gita, and then his son died, and he lamented. And Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, you should not lament for the living or the dead. So he's not a pure devotee. Prabhupada said, no, it's natural when your son dies. This is human nature. You will lament. The proof that he's a pure devotee is that he didn't give up the fight. He didn't say, okay, my son died, I quit. I leave this battle. He continued the next day. He went through the whole army of Duryodhana to get to that person who is responsible for his son's death. And he got him. So when obstacles come, we should meet them. We should be determined. It should increase our determination. And I would just like to share with you one more letter from Srila Prabhupada to Tejas. In India, very, very difficult it was in the when we first came to India. Heavy austerities, I described some of them last night. In Calcutta, I was in Calcutta temple. There was no water, no electricity. I was the head pujari, and always candles all the time, no electricity, and had to steal water, save it, because there was no water. You know, it ran once a day, and we had a huge bathtub to catch it, and the tap was always on. And there was somebody told me, one of my godbrothers told me, the first day he came to the temple as a hippie, he took a bath in the bathtub, let out all the water, and I kicked him out of the temple. yeah, but anyway, it was very austere. Because he took all the water, and I was the pujari. So, what to do, you know? I didn't remember, but he told me. Yeah, so it was a lot of austerity there. In Bombay, it was worse, I can tell you, than Calcutta. The ladies' ashram was on the roof. I didn't have a roof over my head in summer month. But when we went to Calcutta, I was happy I had a roof over my head, at least. So, this is from Delhi. Tejas is writing to Prabhupada from Delhi. And he said, Prabhupada said to Tejas, Tejas was the temple president of Delhi. They had a really small little temple, like a closet somewhere. And he said, Prabhupada said, I'm very disturbed to hear from you. You have become disturbed in your mind. Do not be disturbed. There is no cause for anxiety. You are doing your best to serve Krishna. That is very much appreciated. So do not lose enthusiasm out of frustration. That will spoil everything. Krishna consciousness means we should always be satisfied and happy, not that we must work something impossible, becoming overburdened, and because we're unhappy by so much trouble, we lose enthusiasm altogether and give up hope. If too much endeavor is there, that is to be avoided. By all means, we must preserve our spiritual status. That is the point. Not that we are mad after big buildings, many devotees, life members, this, that. No, these are only ways to engage the devotees so they may apply the principles of devotional living to some kind of work for practical realization of these principles. It's not the result of the work we want. If only one person daily, if we sincerely preach to such one person in a day, that is sufficient. Never mind big, big programs. So my request to you is that you do not be bothered by these things. I've instructed Tamal, Krishna, and Shyamasundar to send you men, so they will do it, rest assured. Krishna does not like to see his sincere devotees suffer or become frustrated or depressed. He will not stand idly by in any case, so do not fear on that account. Krishna has got some plan for you. Always think in that way. And very soon, he will provide everything to your heart's desire. So that goes for all of us. Don't worry. Don't be disturbed. Very soon, Krishna will provide everything to our heart's desires. If, as we discussed yesterday, if a pure devotee says something, it must happen. Prabhupada said this. It must happen. So we have to keep on enthusiastically engaging in devotional service and meet the impediments and accept them and try to keep on with our service enthusiastically and determined. Any questions or comments on this verses of Gajendra? And just like Gajendra, he got it was a benediction. The curse was a benediction. So the problems, the impediments will be a benediction and mercy for us if we actually try to meet them, go through them, overcome them. Yes? Yes. It takes practice. Yes, well, I can see in my own life, like, I kicked that devotee out of the temple, so, but now I wouldn't do such a thing. I have made some little advancement that I don't overreact. So it requires chanting. It requires engaging in devotional service. And all these bad qualities will go away. You will not overreact anymore. But you need to catch yourself. You need to catch yourself. That, okay, uh-oh, I'm getting angry. Better I just go somewhere and chant or do something, you know. And then eventually, your character will change by chanting Hare Krishna. I can see that in my life. I was, you know, very completely different when I was young. Very, yes, I had a temper. I had so many things. Of course, I was the head pujari, but that doesn't mean you have to get angry. Still, yes, you by practice, what is that? Vairagya and detachment. Abhyasa, Krishna says in Gita, that you will attain your goal by practice and detachment. Arjuna said, how is it possible to control the mind? He said, yes, possible. But you have to practice every day. And then when the time comes, then because you have so much practice, then you will be able to not overreact. That's what I see in my life. A lot of practice, 44 years of practice. And it adds up. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, every obeisance, every mantra, every mouth of prasad you eat is counted by Krishna. It's put in your spiritual bank account. So did you know you have a spiritual bank account? Yes, so, and then when it becomes full, you can purchase Krishna, Prabhupada said. Now, my son told me not to mention him in class, but I'm going to this time because he's not here. So one time I was telling him, we were chatting on Facebook, and I was telling him, you should chant a little bit more, put more in your spiritual bank account. And, of course, he's born in the movement, so he knows all the answers. So he said, yeah, no, I don't worry. I have a joint account with you. So it's true that your family, you can help your family, but you also have to endeavor yourself to go back to God. You can help your family go back, but you do have to endeavor yourself to go back to God. So yes, we do have, Krishna is keeping account of everything we do. Now, if we do something that's not Krishna conscious, then somebody else will, Yamaraj is taking account of that. He's keeping our records, the records of if you do something that's not Krishna conscious. That record is not kept. Of course, Krishna is very merciful, so he will overlook those records. He will just remember all the good things you did. Like with Putana, he did that. So he will do that with us. But we should try, because it's just a cause of suffering. If we do something that is not Krishna conscious, then we suffer mentally, physically. It's a cause of suffering. And it creates more material desires. And it creates another body, another birth. And I think this one's enough. I think you might all agree that this one birth is quite enough. And we don't need a lot more to go through. So better to purify ourselves in this life. Go back to Godhead in this life. Srila Prabhupada would encourage us always. Mm-hmm. Right.
Spiritual, they might just go to do, you know, like just because out of affection you want to do something for your nephew, for your son, for your, you know, like that. I have many family members like that.
Right.
And I put in the spot in which they look after the ankle or to the, you know, your father.
How do you balance the material side and the spiritual
side?
But
the help that they want not necessarily means to be spiritual. So you're caught up between being, doing the correct
thing. So you do
thing.
Your duty as a father. That's okay. You have to do your duty as a father. Help them materially. Help them spiritually. But you should try your best to give them a taste for the spiritual, that they will want to do spiritual things when they become older. That's the duty of the parents. Try to liberate the children. And sometimes it appears hopeless, but just you yourself have to be the example of happiness in Krishna consciousness. And then they will want to follow you. If they see you're happy, you really like to do chanting, you like to go to the temple, then they will also follow your example. They will see, oh, you're happy. Must be something there. Must be something. Oh, she's so happy. Must be good. If they will see your example. They may not be ready to follow it, but if they will go. They will see. Because the example is more important than what do you say, precept? Yeah. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you. Prabhupada, mercy.